tonight, John chapter 15. And I hope that everyone appreciates the service thus far. And as long as I'm able, I want to make sure we don't forget who we are. Being American don't get you to heaven, all right? But you did get to go to heaven free twice. You know what? You understand that America is the last stand of freedom there is upon this earth as far as countries go. All right? And we don't want you to ever forget that, all right? And I am grateful and proud to be an American. Now, there's a lot of things that can be said about our country, a lot of things can be said about things that's going on. But it don't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican or an independent, you're part of America. And one of our veterans made a statement here, I don't know, a year or so ago when everybody was in a turmoil. And they asked him, said, does that not bother you because of what all's going on? He said, that's what I went to fight for, so they'd have the freedom, though I don't agree, that they might have the freedom. And these things are true, aren't they? We'll give you just a thought this morning. We're not going to keep you long. We promise you that. We'll not keep you long. And this is not our ordinary service, and that's okay. I was told by a young person a couple years ago that we had no business bringing Veterans Day and Memorial Day celebrations into the church house. He was just a young person. We'll leave it at that. And I said, that's to each and everybody's own opinion, all right? But again, I don't think it can be separated. And but I want to give you some scripture this morning. Now, again, I want you to, before you leave today, if you can at all, want all of our veterans, if you can, to come back up front. We want to get a picture of just y'all, and they need that picture if you'll do that at the end of the service. It won't take but a minute if all of our veterans will come back up, okay? But I want you to go out here in the foyer, and they have fixed the flag, and the veterans tree was needed fixed. So they done everything new. If you look above the coat rack, is the picture of all of our people. The one on the top row are those who's done gone on, and the next rows are the ones that's still with us, and we honor them, and they'll stay there. That's not just a temporary decoration. And then we have the wall, and then if you look at the wall on the staircase, when you go down the staircase, the emblems of all the armed forces divisions and branches are there in a plaque, and we are awaiting a POW plaque that is being made. And so we want to honor every way. Going down the foyer to the left, if you go out, down the steps to the fellowship hall, there's another display of a painting and a quilt and a backpack, a helmet, some boots, some things just set up. And I want you to understand how intertwined this is with the church house. Now, I understand that the Bible teaches peace. I understand that. But it's peace one with another. It's not standing against evil. See, the church stands against evil. Our military stands against evil. It would do good. Brother Dennis spoke to me a while ago. He said, I would love to get all the young people and everybody in, teach straight American history to everyone. It's very necessary to see why there was war, what was fought against. If you listen to your liberal media, they'll try to make everything over a dollar bill, but it's not always been over a dollar bill. It's been over freedom and persecution and in World War II, when they liberated some of the prison camps of where the Jews was being held, and they found the mass graves, and the scratch marks and stuff on the walls of the gas chambers of the thousands upon thousands that were murdered just because they was a Jew. And Dwight Eisenhower, the commander-in-chief, wanted the people of the town paraded through to make sure they seen all the destruction and the horror because they let it go on in the towns they was in. So it would never be forgotten. And that's why our men went over and fought these wars to liberate things like that. So we're not going to take it for granted. We're not going to do it. And I hold my Bible here today. I don't have to hide it. I didn't have to go through a checkpoint because of the men and women and those who stood here and those like them that stood here. And I'm not going to take it for granted. And I'm not going to let you forget it either. All right. John chapter 15. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, you stirred so many emotions in my mind and heart. And then you've blessed me to know that I am free indeed because of you. And Lord, there's just nobody like you. And you let me live in this country. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Lord, help us today. Help me to preach as you want me to preach. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. John chapter 15, we're just one verse and we have it. I was asked to give a verse for the Veterans Wall out there. And I couldn't think, but there was but one verse that you could give. And that's verse 13. Jesus is teaching. He's preaching here. He's teaching. He's teaching his disciples. And he says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now he's teaching about himself. There's no doubt about that. He's teaching. He's on the way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane here during this teaching. And as he's teaching this, he's trying to explain to them that he's fixing that they're his friends. He said, "You're my friends, and I'm going to die for you." But it was deeper than that because it set a precedence how we are to be one toward another. Not only Christ dying in our place, but our willingness to love the same way. Because it's no greater love. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now, this ain't the love like a man and a woman have one for another. It ain't the love that we have for our kids. It ain't that kind of, it's far greater than any love like that. It's not an emotional love. It's not a feely-feely love, but this is a sacrificial love like no other. And Jesus is the one that says it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now, when we think about this, love is the highest degree, but it comes from the need that's presented. This love is not just a love that happens, but it's by the need that is presented. And understand this, it's because of the need of man. Why did Christ come? Why did he come? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He saw the need of mankind. He saw that man was a sinner. He saw that man was no good in his own merits and something had to be done. So one man, the God man, God put on a robe of flesh to come down because of the need of every other man. And that's what this great love showed. It demonstrated how much he loved. You think about that. It comes, this great love comes from the need of man. It comes from the helplessness of man. God put on the robe of flesh and come down because man couldn't help himself. You think about that. You can't save yourself. You can't fix yourself. You can't forgive your sin. You can't atone for your sin. You can't work for your sin. So God left heaven's glory to come down and die in your place. No greater love is shown like the love that God has given us and the love of Christ that he has shown us. It supersedes everything because of the generations to come. Not only because of the need of man and the helplessness of man, but the generations to come. Jesus didn't just die for that one select bunch of people. He didn't die for just that generation, but he died for those to come. Think about that. Now, I see that that is the presence laid out in the Word of God. I see that that's the example that's laid out. And then I look at the veterans and our war and our military. And why is that done? Well, because of the need of man. Why is there a military? Why is there soldiers? Because of the need of man. That mankind needs. We needed somebody that would fight. You understand? Sometimes I wonder what all anybody knows. I know some say, man, I hate history. Why would you hate history? Why would you hate where you come from? Why would you hate how our country was founded? Do you understand? It was more than over a tax, a tea tax, that there was a Revolutionary War. It was more than that. That there was persecution. There was religious persecution. It's why people even come to this country. And it was all going to be taken away. And men and women said no. And they sold their life. They give their life. They give up their riches. The signers of the Declaration of Independence, when they signed their name, it was their death warrant. That they become wanted criminals. And John Hancock didn't sign his name so big that because he was proud. He wanted to make sure there's no misunderstanding. If they come hunting him, they wanted John Hancock, come and find me. Because I'm giving my life for the country. And they lost their riches. They lost their farms. They died in poverty. They lost their families. And that started. That's why we're going to always honor our veterans. That's why we're going to honor the armed forces. That's why, because that we're free today. But it's because of the need of man. But then it was the helpless of men. The helplessness is why we have military. You understand that everybody can't go fight. Everybody couldn't go. Think about that. So the ones, the able-bodied ones, men and women, able-bodied, they went, volunteered. And I read you the oath a while ago that they took. They took the oath knowing that there was a chance they would never come back. Went on Thornfield knowing that they may never come back when they took that oath. Huh? Because men were helpless. Men were hopeless, but it was a generation to come. See, it wasn't just for the people that was alive then. But these men and women who's went and died for our country and served our country and fought faithfully was for the generation to come. Listen, I'm having church today to see that you get saved, okay? But after you get saved, we don't tell you to quit coming. We want you to keep coming, and we want you to grow your families here, and we want you to bring your children here that we might teach them, because this is for the generation to come. It's not just for us. It's for those that's ahead of us. All of us, the cross and the flags and our Bible, all of us for the generations to come, that we might be together for eternity. Do you understand that? Man, this is important to us today. And I'm not going to let the world cow the church down. And I'm not going to let the world put down the Bible. And I'm not going to let the world put down the gospel. And I'm not going to let the world put down our veterans and those in the military. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand for what I can. Amen. And it's because we see this need. No greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Because the need of man, because of the helplessness of man, and because of the generations to come. You think about that, huh? Boyd sent me a message this morning. He's over in Burma, Boyd and Babar. And he said, we are so spoiled. He said, what they're looking at, what they're facing right now, the ruin, the starvation, the military, the persecution that the people in Burma are going through, and people may say, well, some of it's their own fault. Well, some of it is their own fault. It is. They've chose to worship other gods. Now listen to me. They've chose to worship other gods. They've lived in poverty. Well, there's some things. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but if you're having food problems, quit having kids. Right. Amen. You know, and if you're living in a place where there's no food or work, move. Right. I mean, some things are common sense. These same hundreds of millions of people have been starving for years and years, and they still sit there and starve. And they have a pile of kids and let them starve. I mean, sometimes you got to use your head. But nevertheless, the military is coming in to make slaves of people and to take what they have. We don't have that here today. People may stand and say we got a crummy country, then move. Move. See how well you like it in another country. Huh? I'll still stick with our United States of America. I'll still stick with the old rugged cross. I'll still stick with Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'll still stick by years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me that at Calvary. I'll take Calvary over all of it this morning. Amen. So we see the need of this presented, if you would. And then this great love. Now remember, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It comes from the willingness to sacrifice. The willingness to sacrifice. When we look at Christ, you understand that God could have just wiped everybody out and not saved nobody. You know he would have been just to have done that. When man rebelled against him and he said, well, let's kill the whole, let's just burn her off and start over. He didn't do that. So what he done, he sacrificed himself. That the Creator would sacrifice himself to come down and die for an ungodly, rebellious creation. They know greater love than that. They know greater love. Look at you. Look at me. You know what you are. You know what you think. You know how you feel, where you go, what you do. You know all about you this morning. That the Creator would come down and die in your place. Man, no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. For his family. Any of you men would lay down your life for your family. I believe every one of you men, if somebody come and tried to hurt your family, you'd die. You wouldn't even hesitate. If it was necessary, you'd die for them. But would you die for mine? Would you die for mine? Now, it's one thing to die for your own. It's one thing to die for somebody real close, but would you die for the sorry bunch that is down the road? You know, that's a different thing. But Christ died for all. The godly dying for the ungodly. The righteous dying for the unrighteous. The holy dying for the unholy. Think about that. And then I look at the soldier. I look at the soldier who willingly went to sacrifice. He'll never say much about it, but Brother Steve back here, Steve wasn't just a soldier, but Steve carries the scars of battle as a Purple Heart recipient. A couple of the men that stood here in uniform were Purple Heart recipient. Bobby Ganot, that used to be here, was a Purple Heart recipient. They carry the scars of war that they had come close to not coming back. Cheryl's got a great uncle that's buried in France. He was a paratrooper in World War II, and he's buried in France for our freedom. Family people. Are you understanding? When Gary was talking about a while ago what they read in Memorial Day up here at Memorial Park, it wasn't for everybody that's ever died in war. It's the ones in our county. And there's hundreds that's died in our county that didn't come home. Down in Winona, at the Keeney's Creek Baptist Church, it was on the wall. I reckon it's still there. There was a plaque of all the soldiers, and we're going to have one fixed. We're getting it fixed now. And there'll be a wooden plaque and all the soldiers on a plaque out there in the foyer. That'll go on the wall out there. We'll have that ready. And they put a star beside the ones that never come home. And in a little town of Winona, there were several that never come home. They used to be in all the churches. All the names of the soul and the star, the ones that, why? Because they sacrificed. They sacrificed. They didn't sacrifice for just a 2-year stretch. They joined, enlisted, or whether they was drafted, it mattered not. But they went not knowing they was going to come home. They was in there talking. They was all sitting in a prayer room a while ago. The soldiers was, and they was talking about a little bit of what they endured of the hunger and the days without food and I read military history and we got a young man that I should have recognized him this morning, Jackson Johnson. He got some kind of award here for the military display at one of these things in the school. Because of the history and stuff of the military history of our country. And I watched him, he had an American flag. I don't know if that was his Bible cover or what, but it just made me proud of him because we don't know of the sub-zero weather and the food that they didn't have to eat and the clothes they didn't have and the marches and all the fighting and the death that they saw. Sacrifice. Let me tell you, it was all willingly. Willingly taking an oath. But Christ showed us greater love had no man than this. Listen, we can't take this for granted. Look at us this morning. We sit and our voices don't say nothing. We don't applaud Christ and we don't applaud our country. We don't do it anymore. Used to be these were decorations on all the homes. And if they had a soldier never come home, it was a gold star presented in the windows and the doors. And it's not done anymore because we've done God so selfish and God so prideful of us and not our country and not our Lord Jesus this morning. But no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Someone must be willing to give all. Christ gave all. Someone must, they don't think of themselves. The soldiers, we hear the report. We've watched the movies. All right, but that don't do it justice. No. Huh? We've watched the shows like Hacksaw Ridge. I know it's secular shows. I watched a movie and I just appreciate Saving Private Ryan. I appreciate some of the scenes and some of the things to show what was done that I might have freedom. Huh? Amen. But they're all stories of men and women jumping on hand grenades and charging machine guns. We just had one of the Medal of Honor guys die, Woody Williams from down Charleston, and he attacked the machine gun nest, not just to save himself, but his buddies were pinned down, risking their life. And we don't think of that. Sacrifices made. But think of God who come down and die on Calvary for our sin. Oh, they no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ain't nobody any greater than him. And then our soldiers follow suit. That's their example. That's their example. And there was no respecter of persons with Christ. Christ died for all. You hear me? Christ died for all. I want you to mark your scripture in your Bible. Open your Bible. Let's see here. If I can find it here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. There are religious sects. There are religious branches. There are preachers. Reformed theology. If you're involved in any Reformed theology, it'll poison your mind. Throw it away. Everybody hear me? We'll make sure everybody understands. If you're listening to podcasts of Reformed theology, it's false doctrine, corrupt. Calvinism is trash. Everybody hear me? Predestination, that you're predestined to be saved or be lost, is foolishness. Amen. Everybody understand? Can I be any plainer? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." He's the Savior of every man. He's the Savior for every man. And those that believe will be saved. But don't let nobody tell you that Christ died for a limited number or a limited few or just a handful. No, He died for everybody from Adam all the way from Adam to the last one will ever be born. Everybody understand that? He's a Savior for all men, and especially those who believe. That one verse shows me it's a whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Are you hearing me today? You say you found sound adamant about that. Hey, I'm dogmatic about it. It's more than adamancy. I'm dogmatic. There ain't no other. It's for everybody. Amen. Can I tell you, the soldiers went for everybody. They didn't say, I'm going to go fight for our country for everybody, but on those that's on Maple Street. He didn't say that. Or those, I'm going to do it for everybody, but those that's in Nicholas County, West Virginia. No. They went for the country. They went for the whole country. Can I tell you, it's a great love. Does everybody understand me this morning? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. This is our Savior. This is our veteran. And can I go further? This is supposed to be our church. Everybody look at me. This is supposed to be our church. Our church is supposed to have the same attitude as Christ and the soldier. That everybody means something. That we lay down our life for everybody. They know select few. They know little clique. If there's a clique, it's not of God. Amen. That everybody's equal and we ought to have the same love for everyone. Hear me. We ought to have the same love for everyone. We ought to have the same action for everyone. Amen. Ought to have the same care for everyone. Amen. Ought to have the same respect for everyone. Are you listening? Amen. But we fail there. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For his friends. What's verse 12 say? John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. Huh? We better pay attention. We're losing things. Look at me this morning. We're losing things when it comes to our country. Huh? The man was out there talking to me out there in the hallway. They said they were so thankful to get to come this morning. They were so thankful for you get to come to our church that a church wanted to do something like you. That's wonderful. They said we get invited. They go to some of the grade schools and they're invited to go and they teach and try to do some things. What they're limited, I'm sure, huh, of what they're allowed to do. But we're losing it. He said, you know, we have our veterans parade. Said nobody hardly comes anymore. Nobody comes. Huh? I've watched people at ball games. They won't even stand when you're doing the national anthem. Won't take that. I always think of Guy Kincaid at the ball games of Midland Trail. They'd stand and take their hats off, wouldn't they, Dennis? If they was within three arm reaches of him, they would stand. Huh? They'd take their hats off too. Wouldn't they, Dennis? Yeah. If he didn't take them off, he took them off. Maybe we need to go back to that. Huh? We need to go back to that. But of course, we've lost it all because we don't teach our kids to say yes, sir, no, sir, no more neither. And no, we don't teach them to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am anymore either. And we don't teach our kids open doors for grown-ups either. And we don't teach kids to quit running over top of seniors either. Of course, I can understand when America's going to hell, we're helping along. Huh? Just thought we'd just include that. Huh? You say, well, that was fleshly. I can find scripture for all that somewhere. Huh? We okay? I'm telling you, we're losing some things. We're losing some things when it comes to our veterans. We're losing some things when it comes to this flag. Listen, this flag here is what I'll be draped over when I put me in a casket. This flag here will be the one over top of my casket. Done told Marcus, huh? I didn't join. To my regret, I didn't join to fight for this one. But you wrap me in it, I'll die for today. Huh? But this one here, when they lay me in front of this pulpit, this flag will be draped over my casket. Huh? We're not going to lose sight of this. Amen. Not going to lose sight of the cross. I'm not going to lose sight of Christ. Huh? But I'm not going to lose sight of you. Huh? And I'm afraid we're losing sight of their country and our Christ and our church. I'm afraid we're losing our commitment to our country, to our Christ, and to our church. It's not we're going to, we're already doing it. Not to make no one feel bad, just want you to know, I pay attention. Last Sunday, there was 97 absentees in our church service. I wrote them all down. Did you notice who was gone? Did you check on anybody this week? There was 97 absentees. Had 246 last week, 236 last week. Had 97 absentees. Did you notice? Did you notice that they were 70-some the Sunday before? That's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. Why? Because we're losing sight of our commitment to our country, our commitment to our Christ, our commitment to our church. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. But all of this had to have proof. The action of love had to have proof. The cross is proof that God loves me. If I just read it, not no disrespect to this Bible, but if I only read this Bible and I see that God loves me and all I have is words, then it'll eventually become void and empty. But take me outside the city gates of Jerusalem. Take me there where the cross stood. And there I saw proof, and it wasn't in word. The Bible says, love not in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And Calvary, the cross, is proof of God's love. Just show me the cross. Get me to the cross. I'll get home from there. That's, they've sung songs and written poems and told stories. Just get me to the cross. Can I tell you, the cross is proof this morning. And the soldier is proof that my country loves me. Huh? You don't believe the country loves you? Huh? Listen at the cry of the country today, because the country's taking care of them and feed them because they're too lazy to work. Amen. That was a dud, wasn't it? Huh? It's true. The cross is proof of God's love. The sacrifice is proof of God's no greater love. Cheryl, go to piano. Steve, get us a song, would you? How about just As I Am? Or let's just sing Jesus Paid It All. That'll be better. Sing Jesus Paid It all to Him I owe. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you a recipient of this love with Christ? Do you have Christ in your life? Do you have Christ in your heart this morning? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you truly saved this morning? If you're not, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ today. You need Jesus. You need Jesus today. Jesus died in your place. You are a sinner. You're not good enough to go to heaven. Nobody is. You got to have Christ. And I want to invite you to come to Christ. Dennis is here, Brother Rick. Miss Kim, Other Tristan's here. If you need somebody, woman or man, Miss Pat's here. You come and we'll show you in the Bible how to be saved. We want you to come to Christ. If you don't know where you ought to be as a Christian, won't you swallow your pride and repent and get right with God? You're not walking like you know you ought to be walking. I tell you something, if you're a Christian, you know whether or not you're walking right. If you're truly a Christian, you know whether or not you're walking right. If you ain't walking, why won't you get right? Just get in here. Let the Lord show us some things. Let's grow with the Lord. He paid it all. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Let's stand together, can we? Father, speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.